That is no mastery. True. Any village witch can do it. Can you do changing spells? Can you change your own shape, as wizards do, they say? Again, he was not quite sure that she did not ask the question mockingly. And so again he replied, I might if I chose. She began to beg him to transform himself into anything he wished, a hawk, a bull, a fire, a tree. He put her off with short, secretive words such as his master used, but he didn't know how to refuse flatly when she coaxed him, and besides, he didn't know whether he himself believed his boast or not. He left her, saying that his master, the mage, expected him at home, and he did not come back to the meadow the next day. But the day after, he came again, saying to himself that he should gather more of the flowers while they bloomed. And she was there, and together they waited barefoot in the boggy grass, pulling the heavy white hallow blooms. The sun of spring shone, and she talked with him as merrily as any goatherd lass of his own village. She asked him again about sorcery, and listened wide-eyed to all he told her, so that he fell to boasting again. And then she asked him if he would not work a changing spell. And when he put her off, she looked at him, putting back the black hair from her face, and said, "Are you afraid to do it?" "No, I am not afraid." She smiled a little disdainfully and said, "Well, maybe you are too young." That he would not endure. He didn't say much, but he resolved that he would prove himself to her. Told her to come again to the meadow tomorrow if she liked, and so took leave of her and came back to the house while his master was still out, and he went straight to the shelf and took down the two lore books which Ogion had never yet opened in his presence. He looked for a spell of self-transformation, but being slow to read the runes yet and understanding little of what he read, he couldn't find what he sought. These books were very, very ancient, Ogion having them from his own master Heleth Farseer, and Heleth from his master the Major Paragal, and so back into the times of myth. Small and strange was the writing, overwritten and interlined by many hands, and all those hands were dust now. Yet here and there Ged understood something of what he tried to read, and with the girl's questions and her mockery always in his mind, he stopped on a page that bore a spell of summoning up the spirits of the dead. As he read it, puzzling out the runes and symbols one by one, a horror came over him. His eyes were fixed, and he could not lift them till he had finished reading all the spell. Then, raising his head, he saw it was dark in the house. He'd been reading without any light in the darkness, and he could not now make out the runes when he looked down at the book. Yet the horror grew in him, seeming to hold him bound in his chair. He was cold, and looking over his shoulder, he saw that something was crouching beside the closed door, a shapeless clot of shadow darker than the darkness, and it seemed to reach out towards him and to whisper and to call to him in a whisper, but he could not understand the words. And the door was flung wide. A man entered with a white light flaming about him, a great, bright figure who spoke aloud, fiercely and suddenly, and the darkness and the whispering ceased and were dispelled. And the horror went out of Ged, but still he was mortally afraid, for it was Ogion the mage who stood there in the doorway with a brightness all about him, and the oaken staff in his hand burned with a white radiance. Saying no word, the mage came past Ged and lighted the lamp and put the books away on their shelf. And then he turned to the boy and said, "You will never work that spell, but in peril of your power and your life. Was it for that spell you opened the books?" No, master, the boy murmured, and shamefully he told Ogion what he had sought and why. "You do not remember what I told you, that that girl's mother, the Lord's wife, is an enchantress?" Indeed, Ogion had once said this, but Ged had not paid much attention, though he knew by now that Ogion never told him anything that he hadn't good reason to tell him. "The girl herself is half a witch already. It may be the mother who sent the girl to talk to you. It may be she who opened the book to the page you read. The powers she serves are not the powers I serve. I do not know her will, but I know she does not will me well. Ged, listen to me now. Have you never thought how danger must surround power as shadow does light? This sorcery is not a game we play for pleasure or for praise. Think of this, that every word, every act of our art is said and is done, either for good, or for evil. Before you speak or do, you must know the price that is to pay. Driven by his shame, Ged cried, How am I to know these things when you teach me nothing? Since I lived with you, I have done nothing, seen nothing. Now you have seen something by the door, in the darkness when I came in. Ged was silent. Ogion knelt and built the fire on the hearth and lit it, for the house was cold. Then, still kneeling, he said in his quiet voice, Ged, my young falcon, you are not bound to me or to my service. You did not come to me, but I to you. You are very young to make this choice, but I cannot make it for you. If you wish, I will send you to Roke Island, where all high arts are taught. Any craft you undertake to learn, you will learn, for your power is great. Greater even than your pride, I hope. I would keep you here with me, for what I have is what you lack, but I will not keep you against your will. Now, choose between Rey Albi and Roke. Ged stood dumb, his heart bewildered. He'd come to love this man, Ogion, who had healed him with a touch and who had no anger. He loved him and had not known it until now. He looked at the oaken staff leaning in the chimney corner, remembering the radiance of it that had burned out evil from the dark, and he yearned to stay with Ogion, to go wandering through the forest with him long and far, learning how to be silent. Yet other cravings were in him that would not be still, the wish for glory, the will to act. And Ogion seemed a long road toward mastery, a slow bypath to follow, when he might go sailing before the sea winds straight to the inmost sea, to the Isle of the Wise, where the air was bright with enchantments and the archmage walked amidst wonders. Master, he said, I will go to Roke.